Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio. Journey with Grandmother Aliyah as she enters her magical world of relics, sacred sites, and ancient crystal skulls. Meet with exciting trailblazer authors and individuals shifting the consciousness of humanity. Send her your questions to be answered on air on her monthly segment, Ask the Oracle. And now your host, Grandmother Aliyah, in the sanctuary on the airwaves on Om Times Radio.
Welcome to Circle of Hearts Radio on Om Times Radio Media. And welcome to my sanctuary. Actually, on here on the East Coast today, I was telling Chris that is cloudy and yucky. I wish sun would come out. To begin with, I'm always fascinated by people's journeys in life. And actually, our next guest was recommended by a dear friend of both of ours, the Riverman. Now, people may know him as Charlie the Riverman, but he's really has progressed into a more deeper flow of that word. So anyway, for a few months, he's been mentioning Tina. And then one day he says, I want you to meet her. Okay. You know, I respect Charlie and what you know, and his, you know, intuition and feedback. And, you know, I contacted Tina, I got to know her, and I go, wow. So I asked her, would you please come on? Because there's a lot of people in this world that are doing really, really great things. And they're sort of like the silent voices behind there. So it's really exciting when I can, you know, kind of shove them out the door here and say, okay, look at her. She's got something really going. So now that I introduced you like that, now Charlie wrote something today on Facebook, and he really has a nicer way of putting things. I'm being light, but I'm really, I think it's so true. He introduced her as saying, having suffered a long, seemingly insurmountable illness, Lyme disease, and near-death experiences, she feels she's no longer the person I was before. I see how precious life is and that every moment has the potential to be a miraculous one. This is something I share with each client. And don't mind me, my glasses are falling off. Things aren't working smoothly here, Tina. Anyway, she shares this with each client, and it's she really has a very in-depth knowledge, and this is really who she is, the shaman. And she's gone through the shaman journey, which in a lot of times involves several near-death experiences. It's sort of like a gradual awakening to who she is. I've personally dealt with her. I had lost one of my pups, and she's an amazing animal communicator. So I really, really think Tina really needs to be known out in the world. So having said all this, Tina, are you still with me?
I'm still listening, and I'm so humbled, and I have a big smile on my face.
Okay.
It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I'm zoning out the door. I want people to get to know you and what you do, because
I think
the best recommendation. Yeah, the best recommendation is someone having experienced, you know, you as a person experienced your work. Now, to try to, for me to get serious here, I really am. But how did this all happen? The start? All, I mean, were you normal, according to society?
I was once normal. I was a public school teacher for very many years, and I worked with young children, and that was wonderful. But I guess the universe had other plans for me. And I've worked up and down the East Coast, and had many different teaching experiences. And you know, it's funny because it's kind of come full circle. I still love to teach, but I don't. You know, I teach some children, and my clientele is some children, but you know, I love to teach and facilitate workshops. So that's, you know, it's kind of come full circle. How did it all happen? How did it start? Is that the question?
When did you get hit with Lyme? I mean, was everything was hunky-dory and then boom?
Well, you know, hunky-dory. Honestly, you know, in 2007, I got very, very sick, and I thought it was a really horrible flu, really the worst flu I've ever had. I had high fevers and chills, and I could barely get out of bed. I could barely move. I also had a couple of co-infections. One was Babesia, and the other was Bartonella. So, and I didn't know it at the time. I just thought I had a hard time breathing. I would take a shower and be exhausted after. I could barely breathe. And I had, you know, totally perplexed any kind of doctor that I had asked, you know, what is happening to me. And nobody could really give me an answer. So I think, for one, that, you know, you have a doctor saying there's nothing wrong with you. But as a woman especially, you know your body. And so that was like a really difficult path for me, because I knew something was wrong, but no one was giving me answers. And eventually I had swollen glands. It looked like I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I had one doctor tell me that I needed to see a psychiatrist. And I was like, I had, at this point, my, you know, my glands were huge and swollen. They couldn't figure out why. And my legs were giving out, and I had this doctor working with me who had basically just, you know, given up on me. So, thankfully, I was seeing an acupuncturist, and she said, I think you need to see a shaman. And I said, what? What's a shaman? And that opened up the door to my journey. And it's been a long one. And at that time, with the high fevers and everything, I was, what I would say then, hallucinating, but what I can say now is that I was opening up to dimensions that I didn't know existed, and it was horrifyingly scary, and then also blissful at other times. And when I went to my first healing, the shaman, who ended up being my teacher for 2 years, I was very grateful for that experience, she actually said she saw the beings that I was seeing, and I hadn't told her before the healing that the room, you know, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I see these people at the foot of my bed, and I'm like, oh boy, I'm going nuts. And but the moment, I thought I was really losing it. So, and then when I went to this healing, she, you know, the shaman, my teacher, ended up, you know, she said this room is filled with these beings, and I was like, she was explaining and describing them to a T, and I'm like, that's them. Okay. And she's like, you are not going crazy. You are going through a shamanic initiation. She said, and it would behoove you to apprentice with me, because if you do not, I feel you're going to die. And so I sat there, and I'm like, okay. So what am I going to say? No.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't like a business approach. No.
No. But traditionally, through shamanic illness, and I'm not saying that Lyme disease is a shamanic illness for everyone, but if you're going to walk this certain path, you're going to have a challenge that will become your illness to walk through. And, you know, all the reading I've done and all the research I've done says that it can kill you almost. And I have had near-death experiences that I'm, you know, walking with today. So that's the long or the short of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really, from what I've seen too, even in myself, the experience of the near death, you know, whether it's the illness for me was the brain tumor, because, you know, I'm like, all my life, you know, I'm closing down, opening up, closing down. And, you know, I think it's finally, you know, you get hit in the head and said, okay, let's get serious now.
Yeah. Are you ready for this one? Yeah.
Yeah. So this, I think a lot of people really need to know, because sometimes during this whole process, people are seeing things, hearing things, and automatically, am I losing my mind, you know, and scares them. So getting that information out that this is part of your spiritual process.
Right, and there are many. No, and what's sad for me is that you know, Western world only sees this through one lens. They only see labels. They only see you know, if I didn't have the people in my life that came into my life at the right time, I would not be where I am. And I thank each and every one of them, whether it was a positive or quote unquote negative experience. I had the right support at the right time for people to sit down and tell me, you are not going crazy. Do you realize what's happening to you? There's not enough people out there for a lot of people going through that. I mean, yeah, granted, there are some people that really need some life experiences to be processed so they're not weighed down so heavily by them. However, going through an initiation is a precious, vulnerable time for someone, and I think that having the right supports for those people is imperative for them to really know who they are and trust in their truth and of who they are.
And I totally agree, because even when I first started, when I was 20, I start seeing through the wall. I start seeing people in the ceiling. You know, this whole thing. You know, it's like nothing was solid. Oh, we'll have to go back real quick.
All right. Well, that was fast.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I just want to say something briefly before we get into Tina's spiritual and helping God, so, you know, she got to know them, was people, I think, are afraid, so afraid to reach out to anybody and say, you know, hey, you know, I'm seeing this, I'm hearing this, you know, what's going on? Because they don't want to be labeled. They don't want that, you know, label stuck on their head and given myths, mm-hmm. because that's just masking everything. It's not educating. Yeah. I had my own brother, who I rarely saw, all of a sudden knock on my door as if he knew I was going through something. Now, I didn't talk to him because he was like 15 years older than I was, you know. But he said, here, read these books. And then for me, it was all this esoteric knowledge. And I'm going, oh, is that what's going on? The knowing something. You're not going bonkers, you know, really, because just as Tina and I know, is most like, oh my God, what's happening here? Experience.
Yeah.
But to find out reputable people like Tina, who has gone through it, and she can, you know, she can talk to you and help you realize this is a process. Again,
yeah.
Into your how you discovered your spirit and who were they? I mean, did they start talking to you? I mean, to me, that's normal.
Yeah. Well, initially, these beings spoke to me through telepathic powers, which, you know, honestly quite freaked me out at the time. I had started doing Reiki back in 2005, and I had, you know, I always had these experiences when I was a child that I could speak to animals, and I could speak to trees, and I could feel so connected out in nature. And I was always very surprised when other people, when I found that other people couldn't. So I knew I was a little different even when I was a kid. But, you know, you go through school and you go through what you have to go through to do what you're supposed to do. And that shuts down. And that's the part that I really want to prevent in people. And if I can work with children or anything to prevent that shutting down, because what can happen during that time is people can start really not living their life purpose. They have distractions, or they can, you know, have addictions develop, anything to medicate themselves. Even doctors will throw medications at them. So, I mean, it was a gradual process for me. When I became ill, I had already had some experiences that were a little strange. I could quote unquote strange at the time, but it didn't really start until I really got ill. It was like the universe going, hey, it's time, and we've waited long enough for you. And I fought tirelessly to prevent it all happening, for that from happening.
Well, I know
so,
that.
Well, it's hard to know what's going on. So, I mean, you know, so the beings that I work with are power animals and also helping spirits that are beings. And I've come to know them and trust them and understand who they are and what energies they hold, and how they can help me walk my path. And it's a real journey of deep trust, deep friendship, not even a friendship. I can't even explain what that is, but it's just a deep knowing that I have, you know, support, not just here on this earth plane, but also on other planes as well. And that's a powerful thing. That really is a beautiful thing. And each person has that available to them. And so if they're going through something that they feel is earth shattering, you know, odds are that there's a lot of support that's going, tapping them on the shoulder saying, hey, I'm here. Don't be frightened by it.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, we get frightened by it.
Yeah, well, understanding and actually expressing this out openly, you know, is going to reach somebody's ear. You know, that
I hope
have total
so.
Trust. And it's saying, hey, you know, you're not, this is not off the wall. This is something that reality is growing into. And there are people in the world that can help you through it. So curiosity is, did your guides help you with your mind?
Yes. I don't believe I would be here without them. And also people here on this earth, too, that were, you know, feeling called to assist me. I'll be forever grateful. But one of, you know, this isn't everybody's path, but one of the biggest changing points for me, I mean, I was in a wheelchair and I was bedbound at 30-something, 34, I believe, I got sick, and I was at nursing home level of care, and it wasn't, you know, Lyme disease, for those of people that don't know what that is or feels like, it's a horribly painful process. It's not just, you know, having joint aches and pains. It's extremely painful nerve pain and bee sting type of pain as well. And it's a process that I don't feel most people can completely comprehend, and it's okay. However, I forgot what I was saying, but what happened for me is, you know, I was having seizures and what's called dystonia, which, you know, happened like 3 times a day. I would have dystonic episodes, or if not more, so I could not live alone. And, you know, you just felt, I felt for myself, I was very tired, and I didn't know when it would end. And that was the hard part for me, is just not knowing if I'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. There was a point where I sat in a wheelchair and just went, is this it for me? Okay, how am I going to wrap my brain around this? But there was a point, I think, after one of my dystonic episodes that I literally grabbed hold of this light within me, this seed, and it had nothing to do with being a healer, being a teacher, being a woman, being a friend, being anything that I had been before. It was just the light of God. And that moment was the definitive moment for me that I decided that that light, that seed in me, would grow and I would water it. I would do the best I could to water it. And through lots of journeying, something that I learned from my teacher, who's also from also her teacher, is called transfiguration. And so I use, I learned to use through the direction of spirit, sound, and to have spirit sound through me. And that's a, transfiguration is a very heavy type of medicine, because it takes any kind of energies that don't belong to you, and it doesn't just get rid of them, it transmutes them, and it makes, it's literally making lead into gold. And so that was the medicine that changed me. So I did a lot of inner work during the time that I was sick when I could, and I also employed the help of other shamanic practitioners and healers that could assist me and support me in that process. But my helping spirits definitely assisted me and held me when I did not think I was going to live. So it's
you had learned from experience.
Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. And I have lots of, you know, friends that reached out, healers that helped me as well. And I'm forever grateful. But a lot of the work that I did was inner work, and it took me. You know, everything around me said I'm sick and possibly dying. But that day that I saw this God light within me, which everyone has, by the way, I said all I can do is almost, you know, touch and feel and almost obsess of seeing myself better and not needing a wheelchair and being completely well again. And it happened.
I do believe it, but I think on the average, it's hard for people to get to that point. I don't know what,
you know, it was very hard for me
to
get to that point. Yeah. I think it was the severity of what I was going through that pushed me to that place. And honestly, I don't think I would have gotten there without that. Because I fought it. And, but you know, now that we're speaking about it, my near death experiences were also a defining moment for me when I was asked, you know, you can leave, you can come with us if you want to, or you can stay, it's your choice. And I always said, I'm going back. I have stuff to do. Didn't know what it was. Still don't. but I was like, no, I'm going back. It was always very feisty. I'm going back. Okay. We'll support you. So,
how many experiences did you have? Because it's different for everybody.
I had several. The dystonia was, you know, a doctor would tell you that a dystonia is not going to kill you. However, some of my episodes were a couple of hours long, and they were horribly, horribly painful. And there were times where I would stop breathing. I remember, you know, my mother saying, Tina, breathe, breathe, and I would had stopped breathing, and my tongue would get in the way of my airway, and my diaphragm would freeze up because in dystonia, it's all your muscles just cramp up. I had generalized dystonia, so every single muscle in my body would cramp up and stay that way until I had the right medication administered. And I would not be able to speak. I couldn't communicate with anyone in the room unless they were telepathic.
No, that's scary. I mean, you know, in retrospect,
it was
horrifying.
Yes. So, I mean, I think what happened during those times is, you know, I would stop breathing and then I would see myself over my body. And then all of a sudden I'd be in this other landscape. And I didn't really know where I was, and I would be asked by, you know, a being that I know now, you can come with us, you can leave your body now. If this is too much, we know you're suffering quite a bit, and if you'd like to be released from this, then so be it. And I always just said, no, I'm going back. So a couple of them happened in my home. And a couple of them happened in the hospital when I was in ICU. I think it was in my home at the time. Kind of foggy, but I don't know how many I've had. I've had a few.
And too many, right?
Too many. Well, you know, it's all good.
It's all good. But you must have been a stubborn one.
I was. I was. You would think it would have just taken one.
Yeah, you know, really one is
once
you
enough.
Know, that's kind of once enough. But you know, it's like, I mean, we do laugh at the situations now, but I think probably listening to you, the biggest scariest would be in the hospital. Okay, we'll get back to that.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello. Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
Hey, this is Reva McIntyre, and I wanted to talk to you about a serious problem right here in our own backyard. Did you know that there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger in America? That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks collects surplus food, engaging their communities in solving hunger and giving hope to hungry kids and their families. But they need your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You know, as I was listening to your story, I was thinking on it as far as soul contracts, like what you decided to do when you incarnated, and it's just from being detached from your journey. Okay, what I'm seeing, and other people can possibly, and I think they will be able to relate to, is as a child being very aware, awake. But surroundings didn't support that. So then you kind of shut down, have more challenges.
Yep.
It seemed like you're going through this concept, but there's always been someone around supportive in some way. You know, you've been directed, you know, you've met people. It's a constant, I have an idea. I'm going to shut down. Now, this, I'm not fitting in here. Something's not going right. Mm-hmm. Then comes right. the Lyme disease. It's like, okay, Tina, now, this is it. You know, what can we design for you that you're finally going to get it?
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
NDEs. And I think a lot of people from listening to people, you know, they go through this, you know, and it starts at childhood. So what you mentioned about working with children, especially all these new ones coming in, and
yes.
they're so hypersensitive and they're so
uh-huh.
telepathic and intelligent. I mean, you know, they boggle my mind. I mean, but actually,
they
what
blow
they're doing
me away.
Is coming in awake. And
yes.
this is
they're coming
what
in
us all. Yeah, and all of us come in like that, really. But our upbringings, which is not being judgmental, it's just the way the world is, shuts us down.
Yes.
So you understanding this, I think, could be a really, and also being a teacher able to work, you know, and understand kids.
It would be wonderful to work with more children, actually, because there's just so many. I would be honored to work with. I mean, they're just coming in with these bright eyes and this knowledge that when they say some things, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, who are you? Who are you? It's just blows my mind. It's great.
And, you know, even you developing a more outward program, you know, for children, because, you know, this is what I'm seeing, because there's a lot of people aren't happy with, you know, the labels put on kids and, you know, giving them the meds. And the parents are, in their souls, are saying, you know, there's something more. So people like you need to put it out there, Tina. You know, there's other ways, because children are our future. We can't have all... Go ahead.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. But I've been thinking about actually a couple of visions have come to me to write a bibliotherapy children's book about psychic gifts. And because there's just a lot of parents that come to me lately, funny enough, asking me, you know, my child is saying this and doing this and acting this way. And I'm like, and I just smile. I'm like, oh, you've got a special one, you know? So I do feel like you know, eventually something will unfold for me in that arena. But,
it's not a matter of unfolding. You're getting confirmation here, Dina, on air to the world. Now, don't be so stubborn like you were in your health, you know, to get that knock on the head, Tina. No, seriously.
I know. I've had a few visions, and I think that's definitely going to be happening. So I do have a couple of children I'm planning to work with in the next few weeks, and I'm excited about that. And, you know, another piece of my work, too, is helping people through illness, and that's something that I love, because I can pay it forward and really help them through something they feel is insurmountable. But other things, too, I feel called to work with land. I feel that we're disconnected from the earth, and that is another reason why we're discontent. And I also feel very called to work with animals. I mean, that's where my heart is, too. So it's not even just one area. It's several of them. So whatever happens for me, it is fine, as long as I'm serving and I'm helping someone or many people through a process they feel is insurmountable. Because I know I've been there and I know how that feels.
No, you've gone through it. And, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm pulling you out the door here, stepping, you know, really pushing you out. But, no, seriously, because these are important subjects and people are starting to become aware, but they need to know that there's something out there. So I know myself, I've had many support people push me out the door that makes the information available. So, I mean, I make it light, but very serious. You know, start thinking of writing, because people, until they see it, and at the, you know, the last part, we're going to have your contact information and stuff. You know, if they're interested, they need to know, right, I can do this, I can do this, I can help with this, I can help with that. And like I said, with Tina, you know, I have experience her animal communication, and I get a chance to get back to you, but it has helped. And,
great.
People who are hurting that has lost. I mean, I don't really like to push people out there, you know, that say, well, I can do this. But when I experience somebody myself, believe me, I'm a hard client, you know. But she's real. Wow. You know, I'm not taken in by, I took a course and I can do it. No, it has to be in your heart. And that's, you know, all the things that I know about Tina, you know, she's really true and authentic. So I don't want to make you uncomfortable saying I'm bragging you up, but I really want you to be available to people. So now that my part, you got to get out there and start putting it out there.
I am getting out there, and I'm really ready. And I, you know, it's the thing is I really just want to help. And if what I have gone through and the wisdom that I have at my hands readily available through my helping spirits can assist somebody, I am there, you know, and I'm that's how I feel. I'm a bit humble about it, and I think it's healthy. And you know, really, it's not about me. It's really about helping people. And when I was going through what I was, being in service, yes, to every single, because through my eyes, everything has a spirit, a rock, a tree, a person, an animal, every single thing has a spirit, and everything is sentient, and it deserves love. And so, that's where I feel called to help. So, yeah.
When you've experienced that, you can totally identify all the pain and experiences your client is going through, and the worries and the upsets, because you have walked that walk yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I guess I'm not really trying to embarrass you. I'm really just trying to make people realize that, you know, there are really good people out there. So today I'm showing you under the bus and saying, here
oh, great.
People listen.
Well, you know, I don't even if it's not, you know, Lyme disease, if it's some sort of other illness, it doesn't matter to me. It's just what people, you know, what you think in your mind, if it's insurmountable, then it becomes insurmountable. But if you believe that it's not, if you feel like if you really truly believe you can overcome it, then you can. It's really about, it's a mindset. It's mind over matter. And it sounds really easy, but it's not.
No, that's for sure. So, and I think you need, people need that support system. Because, I mean, I know doctors are needed, they're only as good as far as their book knowledge goes. They face a lot of challenges that they can't, even if they think, well, maybe, no, you know, they're dealing with different challenges.
And, you know, I was just saying to a friend of mine, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when a doctor says, I don't know, then you're like, okay, well, if he doesn't know, then who knows?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. I was just saying to a friend of mine yesterday, and also another friend last week, that what happens specifically with illness or dis-ease, and particularly Lyme disease, there's a certain energy to it that I've been able to recognize that is very alienating for a person suffering. And first of all, for many people, it makes them reject or separate from their own body because of the initial the doctors don't know what's going on for them. So that's like the first trauma, is you not being able to trust your body and your experience. That's huge. And the second is that you go through a whole steps that you're giving away your power to these doctors. And, you know, I'm glad we have doctors, but we shouldn't be giving our power over to them. So that needs to, you know, not happen, and give our power over. And also, when you get to the right doctor, the right Lyme doctor, they're saying, they tell you, you're really, really sick and may always be sick. Now, how is that supposed to help? So taking your power back and saying, no. So and it's unfortunately the paradigm that a lot of Lyme people are living in, or someone, you know, there's other diseases that are chronic that they're living in. They believe, they have this belief that they're always going to be sick. It's a choice whether you want to believe that or not. And what happened for me is that I took back my power and I said, I'm not going to believe this. And I'm not going to identify with this disease any longer. I am not this disease. And when that started happening, you know, it really freed me up, and I started to get better. So
I was going to say, even with my brain tumor, my neurologist, they, you know, first they thought I had MS because of my dizziness and falling over and all kinds of good things. But then they said, oh, no, you have massive brain tumor. And when we went to see them, his words were, I want to show it to you. And I go, no. Don't ask me why.
Yeah.
I said no. And he goes,
no, I think that's a great idea.
You're denying the situation.
No.
Yeah, he goes, I'm not going to own it. And he goes, you're delusional. I said, well, I'm delusional then. You know, don't ask me where all that came from. You know, he goes, if you get through the operation, you'd be lucky if you're not a vegetable. And I go, no, I'm going to be fine. And he goes, get real.
Good.
So you need to have, and believe me, I don't know where it came from. I don't, because I know when you're in that spot, you're looking like, help, help, somebody help me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
and
that's
why this information needs to be out there.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue this and then we'll get your info out there.
All right.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change, called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Now, in these last 15 minutes, I want people to get a pencil and paper. And while they're getting that, I just want everyone to know when I interject from my own experience is to back up Tina to show the two different people of falling apart, for some odd reason regathering, getting their power back, and finding some answers within themselves. Because I believe in miracles. I believe that you have a choice in everything you do. You create the illness as a challenge, in a soul challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you can say, okay, enough, I've learned. I don't know why in the world I ever did this for, but, you know, there is more. I want to, you know, I want that second chance. And I think with disease, this is possible. Both Tina and I are examples of this.
Absolutely.
So, now, hopefully you'll have your pencil and paper. And now, Tina, how can people get hold of you?
So my webpage is www.3crowshealing.com. So 3crowshealing.com, or my email is 3crowshealing@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Facebook. I'm friends with Grandmother Aliyah. So if I can help you, I would love to. And also Riverman, yes.
Yeah, and the Riverman. Mm-hmm. You know, for people that are on the social media, I imagine Facebook would be the most direct, and then, you know, they can find your site and whatever. I think you have a lot of good programs developing. Now, I'm excited about the thing about the children, because these are new leaders, and we can't have them drugged up.
Mm-mm. No, I don't agree. And, you know, talking about medications before for people that are being labeled, just not even children, but adults as well, I feel like it's a Band-Aid. And sometimes it's something that someone needs to work through in a full way to be able to transcend it. And, you know, just take a depression, for example. And to the way I see things, depression it can be a many of things, but I feel, in the way I see things, that it can be, you know, somebody not aligning with who they truly are, and so of course they're going to feel this energy around them that depresses them. It's a sadness for not walking your true purpose. So of course you're going to get a regular doctor to give them a medication for that, but it's not really, it's just drugging them to keep walking the path they've been walking, you know, in, and being happy about that, when in reality, if you face that core fear within yourself about what you're afraid of about walking your true purpose, or whatever that is, when you face that core truth about yourself, it doesn't seem like a huge burden or challenge anymore. You can walk right past it, but it does take some courage. So, yeah, that's my whole spiel on medication for the wrong reasons.
No, I mean, I totally agree. You know, everything is always that Band-Aid, you know, mask it down, you know, and just kind of become numb to it. I know in a lot of the talks I have with women, and I love calling that to kind of irritate him, but that's who he is.
Yes, it is.
He's a very special soul. He's a very special soul.
He was actually quite a huge help for me when I was ill. So I know he's listening. So thank you, Riverman. So
yeah, he kind of helps us all, and I think very highly of him. But I think people. Well, I was going to say, he and I talk. You know, we're always saying to people, you're a spirit in a physical form. And I think people are afraid of that, because I think they're going to open themselves up, and they think, well, if I think that, people are going to think I'm crazy. Then comes the mental illness idea. And then, no, if I'm mental illness, then they're going to give me these weird medicines, and people are going to walk around me because they're going to think I'm crazy. So it's a conscious, vicious cycle, you know, and even fibromyalgia. That's another thing not understood. So there's alternatives. There's always support if you want it, but always be discerning about who you look toward. You know, if it feels right in your gut, you know, that's the person that's to be there for you. I said, I bring out, you know, like Tina, because I have experienced and worked with her, and I trust my gut. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, please, people, you know, find out about what she does. She can be very helpful. You know, I wouldn't put you out there unless I knew firsthand about it. So, you know, well, no, because people are, it's a crazy world, and people need to be, they need support. You know, you might be that one person that comes to them at the right time.
And if I'm not that person, I have enough understanding that I can direct them in the right place to go if it's not me to help them. But, you know, speaking to, you know, trusting your gut, it's really important to do that. And, you know, there are times in our lives for many of us, and maybe all of us, that we don't even know where our gut is. We're so beside ourselves. That's where I was, that I didn't know who was going to help me. But you have to really have a tool bag with you to be able to realign and center yourself enough to say, what does my heart say right now for me? Who in my life feels right for me to help me right now? And I think, you know, not going into the panic mode, but also going into your heart and really getting back into your body and asking yourself, who would really benefit my situation right now, rather than just running to any doctor, help, 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 because that's just fear, and it's not going to bring you to the right person. Just really, I think that's really important to say too.
Yeah, and I'm always hoping that, you know, the medical situation is going to start opening your eyes. You know, and there'll be more integrativeness, and, you know, working together instead of. I know doctors are called to help people, and I talked to one doctor once, and I think they say in their training they almost taught to detach, to forget all their inner part raw. So I'm not, you know, jumping down their cases. It's just like, you know, get back to why you started to become one, you know. But now that we've taken apart everybody, so. Seriously, I mean, in a way, I'm very serious, but I don't want to be judgmental. You know, we're ending almost, you know, the show, and I want to thank Tina for coming on and, you know, sharing her story, because I think people can really relate. You know, there's a lot of people out there that's really hurting. I've come across them constantly.
Yes,
and they
need
to be able to take that first step and say, you know, I need help. That's the biggest step.
That's the surrender. It's not the white flag surrender, give up. It's I need help. I'm allowing someone to help me. And that's a huge step for someone, anyone. It's huge.
Yeah, it really is. And it, because it makes you feel vulnerable. But
of course.
That really is the first step toward healing. Mm-hmm. And not to, if someone says, you'll never get well, don't believe that. There's enough people sharing their stories out there that are saying, hey, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So there's got to be something toward this. You know, we're all putting this out there. Don't just accept. Find out, research, and find out what's right for you. And if someone says, you know, you're not going to make it, forget it. You know, you're not me. I'm going to do what I want to do.
It's all your choice whether you want to do it or not. And you know, it's unfortunate that we forget this, that it is our choice. Am I going to do this? Well, I have to decide. Well, yes, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, it's like Yoda says, do or do no, don't do. There is no try.
And it's true. I was just thinking of one show that almost lasted a year with the women. You know, it was chaos, change, and choice. you know, your world falls apart. And we constantly, Charlie and I constantly laughed, oh no, we're going to talk about this again. But it's a running tree, you know, it's three C's. But you always have the choice to be better.
Always, always have a choice. And we forget that. Yep.
Yeah, so that's what we're reinforcing. Whatever you're facing right now, you always have that choice. No one can take that away from you. Only you can
take it away from you. No, nothing or nobody, an illness or person, whatever, a situation cannot take away your choice. No way.
So I think, we've gone it out there. And then this will be archived, and I'll give you the podcast. And
great.
We're just going to kicking you out the door. Make sure that you do people get to know about you. I mean, I've been kicked out the door by a few good friends, so I have to share the wealth here.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Aliyah. I really am honored to be here, so thank you.
No, I'm glad that, the women finally said, okay, I want you to meet Tina. They always, be very happy about that. And, when I need something, she's the one I'm going to be going to. So everybody have a great week ahead. And next week we got the Riverman with me. He's probably going to give me a lecture. Okay. Blessings, Tina, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Aliyah.
Bye.
Bye.